So we'll preach about that a little bit this morning. And I don't know if this is a disclaimer, but obviously I'm just going to preach what the Lord laid on my heart. And so the devil might tell some of you, he's been following me around. He's been spying on me. But I haven't. I'm just going to preach what the Lord told me to preach this morning, and but we need mamas. We need godly mamas. Amen. I think that's obviously what makes godly homes, is if there's godly mamas. And I've heard the statement that the mom is the Holy Spirit of the home, and of course that testified itself out in my home growing up, and it definitely has testified itself in the fact that my wife is the Holy Spirit of our home. And so, you know, those are spiritual statements that I started with, but I'll throw one of these in there. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Amen? And so that's, I don't think that's a Bible verse, but I think that has probably proven itself out over and over and over. But anyway, you know, and that's a true thing. But anyway, I think, you know, in the homes of our kids today, and you know, and of course that's why we do, you know, stuff like VBS, is because there's kids out there that, like the video says, may not even ever heard that Jesus was born in the manger, and Jesus lived a perfect life, and Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave. There may be kids in those zip codes that they're going to go to that's never heard that, and sad to say, there's some kids out there today that are what we might tag abusive homes, whether it be verbal abuse, whether it be physical abuse, emotional, and definitely what I would call spiritual abuse. Because if there's a kid out there in a home today in our area that's never heard about Jesus, I think that's just as bad as if you scream at them, or you know, worse, or you know, physically abuse them and things like that. So I'm not for any of those abuse in that list. I'm not for physical abuse. I'm not for emotional abuse. I'm not for psychological, mental abuse, and definitely I'm not for spiritual abuse. And of course, according to the Bible, you know, there are several verses, and we're not going to cover them all today. But it commands us to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It tells us to teach them the Scriptures and things like that. And so if we're not, I believe it is abusing them. And so we're going to look here. This is not a mama, but this is a daddy that was getting talked to. But the mama is in the home. And at 2 Kings 20, verse 15, and you can leave your Bible open because we'll look at some of the points as far as the introduction here in this same chapter. But it says, "And he said, what have they seen in thine house?" So pretty, pretty powerful statement right there. And again, a lot of people in today, they don't care. They're more concerned about themselves than their children. They're more concerned about their events and their happiness than their children. And it ought not be that way. Again, I'm not for happiness. I'm not against happiness. I'm not against events. I'm not against the adult having fun. It's not like, oh, I'm a dad now, or I'm a mom now, so life's over, fun's over. I'm not saying that. But again, I'm just saying that, you know, they ought to see something in your house. It's not just a happenstance that they were born into that house. They ought to see some things in that house. And that's what he said. "And what have they seen in thine house?" And Hezekiah answered, "All the things that are in mine house, they have seen." So in other words, there's no secretive things. You know, a good Christian home doesn't have, you know, mommy and daddy drinks and then kid drinks. It ought to be the same. All right, you can do the math. All right, it ought not be mommy and daddy activities. And again, there's some kid activities that kids shouldn't be. You know, my 3-year-old's not taking the 9 mil out in the backyard and popping off around too. Okay, I get that. I'm not saying. All right, they'll grow into that. All right, but we ought not have different languages. It'll be the same language, different you know, activities ought to be the same activities. Well, that's what Hezekiah said. Everything in my house is I'm an open book. My kids have seen everything. I'm not, you know, keeping them secret. I'm not doing things that I shouldn't do when they're not looking. And it says here, it goes on to say, and there is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them. And so we know the verses, and we're going to look at that word treasure here in just a second. Again, most of the time a kid picks up the mindset of the treasure from the parent. So whatever is most important to the parent, especially the mom, all right, is going to be most important to the kid. And again, you got to be careful with that. Johnny ought not be wanting to dress up as Ariel or Mulan or any other, princess or anything out there. No, he ought to want to be the dude, all right, and vice versa. But they're going to pick up stuff from us. And that's what Hezekiah was saying. Look, I've taken it to heart what my kids see in my house. No, you can't be a part of that. No, you can't look at that. No, you can't be, you can't eat that or drink that. No. Everything in my house, open book. They've seen it all. They know it all. And they know where my treasure is. And so what we were saying is, and Hezekiah said this, I believe that statement, what the Bible says, if you love me, talking about God, God says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so that's what Hezekiah was saying. We're going to see here in just a minute, obviously, he was granted the prayer request at the end. Why? Because all of what he said was true. God was able to give him what he asked for, and God was able to bless his house. Why? Because what was going on in that house, God was all about it. It was keeping God's commandments. And so definitely, there ought not be anything in our house that's not in the commandments. If God says, thou shalt not, it shouldn't be in my house. If God says, thou shalt, it should be in my house. And that's why God was able to bless Hezekiah and obviously Mrs. Hezekiah and those kids were there. So I would like to say this. If God says, if you love me, keep my commandments. A child might say this. If you love me, teach me his commandments. I think that'd be a good verse. And obviously I think we can find the principle in there. And so a child, obviously, especially when they're young, you've got a head start. You know more than they do. That might change one day. But we ought to be in control of what is in our house and what they see in our house and what they learn from our house. So first of all, we see in that first verse right there, treasures. And the Bible says in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Okay, so in other words, I like to deer hunt. And I have a couple of heads hanging in there. I had them in my house. My boys saw that. I took them. There were some times where they were too young and I went without them. They knew I liked it. But with all my being, I tried to show them that I love God more than I love deer hunting. And I love God and I love them more than I love deer hunting. And so that's what he's saying. Hey, all the treasures that I had, they saw it. And they realized that they, after their mama, they were right there in my treasure list. And that's what it should be. And the same way with moms. It should be dad, and then junior and juniorette. That's where the treasure is. And of course, there's nothing wrong with having other things. Matthew 12:35 says this, a good man, out of a good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things. And so that's what the Bible says. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. So if your treasure is all about money or all about position or all about fitting in or all about society, your kid's going to see that. Nothing wrong with any of those things. But God ought to be at the top. They ought to see that, where that treasure is. And it says here, but an evil man out of the evil treasure bring forth evil things. So whatever's in here is coming out. And so if this is what I think about, they'll see it. Especially if it's not God first. So they're going to see your treasure. Secondly, look at verse 1 of that same chapter. Verse 1 of chapter 20. And of course they come to Hezekiah, and in verse 1 it tells them, and I'm just going to say the phrase that I'm looking for, set thy house in order. Set thy house in order. Of course, obviously we know the story. He was going to die. And he he said, you know, you need to set your house in order. But I would say, go ahead and do that now, a long time before you're going to die. Don't try to set your house in order the day before. Say, look, I didn't take y'all to church, but y'all need to go to church. Yeah. I didn't read the Bible, but y'all need to read the Bible. I didn't put God first, but y'all need... That's not going to work. All right? But if they've seen it from day one, God number one, mama or daddy number two, us number three, and everything else takes order. They're going to see the order. So Hezekiah was told, and Miss Hezekiah was told, set your house in order. Let it be God. And then let it be your mate. How do you think they're going to learn how to be the right kind of mate? Watching you. Everything in your house. Now, my boys, I would do it on purpose. I would, you know, go give her a hug and a kiss. And, oh, Dad, that's gross. Right? Oh, don't do that. I wouldn't say everything in front of them that I would call her little, you know, secret pet names and things like that. But they'd be like, oh. But guarantee what they saw in my house is going on in their house today. They're calling their wife pet names in front of the kids. They're giving their wife some sugar in front of the kids. So whatever goes on in your house, they're going to see it. So set it in order. Let it be God first. So hopefully one day it'll be God first in their life. Let it be the mate second, husband or wife. So why? Hopefully one day they're going to leave and cleave. That's what they're commanded to do. Again, Junior leave, but he's calling his mom every, good night, mommy. Now that probably would make your heart feel good, but that's weird. All right? It cuts the apron strings and all that kind of stuff. And again, I know it hurts, and they're still my little baby. But there ought to be order so that they'll know how to be in order. So God, our mate, our children, then our career. And none of that should be all twisted around. Career, children, mate, oh yeah, God. No. Set it your house in order. Set it right there. And then hobbies. Look at verse 2. What else did they see in Hezekiah's house? Mrs. Hezekiah's house. They saw treasures. They saw order. Then they saw prayer. And again, those VBS cards that are going to go out, guarantee you there's going to be some kids that have never heard or seen mommy and daddy pray. That's sad. That's not good. Again, it's not for a show, but it is. What have they seen in thine house? They saw mama pray. They saw daddy pray. Verse 2 says here, and they turned his face to the wall and prayed. So, the parents even had a place. It was in the living room when I was growing up. My dad was sitting in dad's chair, the recliner. All right. I'd like to have sit in that during family devotions, but no siree. That's daddy's chair. All right. And mom had her little chair with the ottoman or the little, you know, glider or whatever mama had, right? And Junior was sitting over on the love seat. And the love seat, it's got a great story about the love seat. My wife and I were dating. I took her to my house to meet my parents. My brother was 3 years old. And we're sitting on the love seat. And I was telling her, you know, this is where I'd sit when we have family devotions. And my brother walks up, looks right at Sharon, and says, I peed right there last night. I mean, we came off that love seat. I mean, pow. So we never sat on the love seat again. Amen. I think they've gotten rid of it. But anyway, so... things like that, that's in the house. Kids ought to have memories of order, of treasures, of mom and dad praying. There was times where, you know, granny's in the hospital or grandpa's is in the hospital or this, let's pray. And they wouldn't burden us too much with, but hey, there's a need. Our family has this bill or we got to do this. Let's pray. And we'll see here in a minute that God answers that. Look at verse 3. It says, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before Thee. So mom and daddy, when there is a need, when there is an issue, God told Hezekiah, look, get your house in order because you're fixing to die. And so he's reminding God that in my house, my kids saw me pray. In my house, they saw me go to church. They saw me live like the Bible says. They saw me. Remember, God. It says here, in the truth, and with a perfect heart. I didn't get mad at you. I didn't understand sometimes, but I tried to have a perfect God. I didn't do the blame God thing. I tried to say, God is in control. God is smarter than me. I'm giving it to you. They saw me walk like that. They heard me pray like that. And have done that which is good in thy sight. Again, if your kid does become the prodigal, but this is your life, it'll be easier to help or to go through. Because you can look in that mirror and say, I prayed for them. I took them to church. I was the right kind of example. This ain't on me. They chose. That's why the prodigal son's dad could sit on that porch and keep looking down at it. It wasn't, oh God, I blew it. He didn't see this in my house. He didn't know there was order. He didn't see my treasure was you. He didn't see. No. He was like, God, you remember. I went to church. I did what the Bible said. I prayed. I talked. And look at verse 5. What else have they seen in the house? They saw the order. They saw the treasure. They saw prayer. They saw true Christianity. And then number 5, we see here, they saw answered prayer. It says here, have you heard thy prayer? I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. Of course, Hezekiah came in and said, look, we got to get the house in order. All right, when I pass away, Junior, you get this and you need to do this. And Juniorette, you get this and you need to do this. And y'all take care of Mama and this, that, and other. But we're going to pray that God heals me. And can you imagine when he came in that day? Hey, kids, come in here in the living room. Oh, that's stupid. That's about boring. Daddy's going to live. Wow. God's awesome. So they saw that in his house. I remember my brother that was killed, that actually was the event that got my family to go to church the first time. And we've all been saved since that. My mom was told, after him, you can't have any more children. It's not possible. So my dad said he was pulling the mobile home one day, thinking about church last Sunday and what the preacher preached on and how that God's changed their life and this is just great. And he said, not with an audible, but just the presence of God come on him and said, you're going to have some more kids. Proud of you. Thank you for letting me help you turn your life around. So he goes home, tells my mom, you're pregnant. No, I'm not. Dr. Shea, which was a family doctor and family friend, said I'm not able to. I don't care what Dr. Shea said. God told me you are going to have some kids. So she goes. She's expecting. And the doctor's like, nothing I can say. I mean, right here in your chart. This was wrong, and this was wrong, and you weren't able to. But somebody above my pay grade fixed it. They came home and they said, hey, God answers prayer. Because, you know, we had you when we grew up with you. All right? But we wanted some more kids, and we've been praying that God would give us more kids. And lo and behold, they had two more. Not heads. Right, she's 13 years younger than I am. He's 15 years younger than I am. They both retarded. But God answered prayer. And my parents showed us that. And so that's what I'm saying. Hezekiah come in. I'm going to live. I'm not going to pass away. God did it. Look at verse 6. I will add to thee 15 years. And I will deliver thee. So what have they seen in your house? I have to ask myself that question. What have they seen in my house? Wrong kind of movies? Wrong kind of talk? Wrong kind of behavior? Or have they seen, like Hezekiah said, look, where my heart is, there's where my treasure is. God first. Here's the order. here's a prayer. And not only that, there was Christianity, true Christianity in between that. And lo and behold, God answered prayer. Look at verse 16. What else had they seen in Mr. and Mrs. Hezekiah's house? Verse 16 says here, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Again, I do have memories, pre-church, pre-salvation, pre-Bible, of my home. There were memories of seeing my dad in the cop car, hearing my mom and dad scream at each other all night long to the point I'd try to put a pillow over my ears so I didn't have to hear it. Go get me a beer out of the refrigerator and sneaking a sip when I was carrying it to him. But after my brother died and we went to church and they got saved, no more alcohol. No more cursing. We're going to church. We're going to put God first. We're going to have answered prayer. We're going to have the Word of God in our house. Thank God for that. What else? Verse 19. It says here, it is not good if peace and truth be in my day. So, they saw peace. I'm going to die. I got to set my house in order. Oh, God's going to give me 15 more years. Whew, that gives me some peace. Look at verse 21, last one. And then we'll get to the outline. Last one, verse 21, it says here, and Hezekiah slept. That's when he passed away. 15 years were up. And you'll see the rest of it later on down the verse. It says here, and his son reigned in his stead. So they saw desire in that house. Son, daughter, whether it be for mom or dad, we want you to have way more than we had. We want you to be blessed way more than we've been blessed. We want God's hand on you way more than it's been on us. That's why you've seen in our house treasure. That's why you've seen order. That's why you've seen true Christianity. That's why you've seen prayer and answered prayer. That's why you've seen the Bible. That's why you felt the peace. Why? Because we want you, because you're going to reign one day in our stead. We're going to be gone. And I know, have had two children. That's my desire. I wanted them to have more than I ever had. I wanted them to be blessed more than I ever was blessed. That's just my desire. So they saw desire. So we see, we'll go from introduction to it now into our outline. We see that if we have done our job, they'll want to carry it on. I saw Dad and Mom live this way, and I saw God answer their prayer, so that's the way it's going to be in our house. So that's what my wife and I did. You know, we were 19, 20, 21, whatever we were when we got married, living on love. All right, that's all we wanted to do is hold hands, hug, kiss, all that kind of stuff, live our life. And then lo and behold, two little knotheads come along, messed all that up. But we like, look, what our parents gave to us, we want to give to them. Because what did we see in our house? We want them to see it in their house. So what have I seen in my house? Treasures, order, prayer, Christianity, answered prayer, the Bible, peace, desire. I took that, she took that, brought it to our house, and carried it on. So, again, all those lists that we saw that was in thine house, that what the kids saw, is way more important than any guest that you'll ever have in your house. I'm for having guests. Granny ought to come. Papa ought to come. All right, all that stuff. But Uncle Joe Bob, that's a drug addict, he might not get to come. You know, Aunt Susie Q that's molested somebody, she might not get to come. Why? Because I don't know that I want my kids to see that in my house. Now, that's between you and God. That's just what I decided. So, my kids, what they saw was way more important than any guest that might could have come. My kids was way more important than any part of my library. I don't like to read other than the Bible. I'll read a help book or two. But I didn't have stuff that my kids, oh, you can't read that. You can't look at that. Why? Because my kids was way more important. We didn't have mama and daddy TV shows and then junior shows. We just had TV that we could all watch. Praise God. I didn't have internet when I grew up, and so we didn't allow our kids to have it. Now it's hard not to. Goodness gracious. But you got to be in control of it. Conversations that they might hear. What have they seen in thine house? The White House is not the answer for America. All right? Now, I'm all for having who in there that can help and do all this stuff, but that's not the answer. All right? We know that the church house is the answer. But what makes up the church house? Your house. All right? And that was our goal. My wife and I gave each other a high five. Whatever they hear at church is going to be seen in our house. Whatever they hear that we shouldn't do at church is not going to be in the house. Well, the preacher's a little bit cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. That's a little too much. So you just don't tell them. We weren't going to let our kids. Who's right? The church house or mom and dad? It ought to line up if we're going, all of us going by the Bible. So we see that, what do they see? It's not the size of the house that's going to influence your kid. Now, there's some TV shows out there and some social media things that say that that's it. You know, the one that comes from the big old three-story and it's got all that, they're going to be more successful than the one that came from the shack. Not necessarily. It's what they see in the house. It's not the house. So again, I'm all for having a nice house. I'm all for it, having it fixed up, things like that. And, you know, you can teach principles, take care of what you have, be a good steward of what you have. Those principles are there. But again, it wasn't the size that I was trying to get them to see. It was the behavior that was going on inside. Napoleon was asked, what's the greatest need for the French nation? And he said, the greatest need for French nation is French mothers. Because they're going to help develop those kids. So the dearest and the most sacred spot on earth should be your house. Should be your house for those kids. You know, yeah, they ought to go, you know, I'm going to grandma's house. No rules over there. We get to do whatever we want to. Eat what we want to. You can't stop it. I'm going to go home. Well, these rules are, and I got to behave. Can't put my sister in the dryer anymore. And can't hang the cat over the clothesline. And got rules at home. But at your house, it ought to be sacred. It ought to be sacred. Sweet memories should be from your child, you know, your childhood that you brought with you to your home. And now you help create some memories to your child. I believe the closest thing that we see on earth that God's love to us is obviously a mama's love for her kid. And that's where it starts. So the home, let's not let it get so busy. And let's not delegate too much of our responsibilities. I know life is busy. I know we have responsibilities. But let's work harder on the moral aspect and the Christian aspect in our homes than we do the social, the society aspect. I got a couple statements and I'll be to the outline. It says here, a pure life, our pure home life will help all life be pure. A safe home life will help all life be safe. A spiritual home life will help all life be spiritual. A honest home life will help all life be honest. So the individual, when they have revival, that will bring revival to the church so we can have revival collectively. And when we have revival collectively, then that church will help the nation. And then that nation will help the world. And that right there is found in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by thy name. Now, we made it to that line. So what have they seen in thy house? First of all, they must see authority. They must see authority. Now, I know, again, in our world today, you can't be aggressive. You can't have masculinity in your home. So when we hear the word authority, we think screaming, yelling, throwing stuff. No. I'm not for that. Okay? Genesis 18:19. Listen to what this verse says. Talking about authority in the home. Genesis 18:19 says this, for I know him. This is God talking about Abraham. Oh, I know Abraham. For I know him that he will command his children. That sounds like authority. Okay? And again, we've all, not all, but some of us have been told my way or the highway. You put your feet under my table, eat my food, use my electricity, use my water, you're going to obey my rules. And I was told that. But again, I mean, I was like, what, 17? You don't have to tell a 2-year-old, 3-year-old that. Bless God, boy! My way or the highway. My rules, or hit it. It's going to freak them out. But authority, no. God's in control here. Then mommy and daddy, then you. Not, oh, sweetie, you can have whatever you want. You spoil them. Okay? Now, so we see here, I know him. He's going to command his children in his household. And it says here, after him. In other words, they're going to do what he did. They're going to come after him. And shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. And the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. So we see here the authority. Okay, you're gonna behave after what the Bible says, or after what I say. You're gonna come after me. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child. It takes authority. And the way he should go, when he's old, he will not depart from it. Ephesians 6:4. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition. So you've got to have authority. We're not just the oldest person in the house or the tallest person in the house. We've got a job to do. We've got to command to them the Word of God. So a group of moms were discussing. Yeah, I've seen those groups on social media. I mean, opinions flying left and right. And they have a right, right? I started training my child when they were 6. Well, that's stupid. I started when they were 7. I started when my child took his first step. I hadn't heard a Bible verse quoted yet, have y'all? Anyway, 6. No, 7. Nope, first step. Well, I started teaching my child after they said their first word. And of course, that's a competition, right? Daddy's in there going, da, 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 da. Mom's going, mom, 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 mom. I started training my child when he was first. An elderly woman walks up. And that's why I think that principle in the Bible, the elderly women teach the younger. All right? Because most 18-year-olds that have a first kid, you know, they're going to do it perfect, right? Just worry about what they see in your house. Feed them, change them, clothe them. It'll take care of it. But it says here, the elderly said, y'all are all wrong. Can you hear all that? How dare Karen? Firing off. But, you know, again, I'm going to listen. Try to get something better to help my kid, right? But it says here, all y'all wrong. All right? What you do, you start training your child the generation before the child's born. So, in other words, what you learned, all that you learned, take it with you to your house. Take it to your house. So we see, what is in thine house? First of all, they must see authority. Next, this is just as important, if not more important. They must see an example. Well, a lot of us are good at do as I say, not as I do. My own Bible, chapter 1, verse 1. But that's not in the Bible. Do as I say, not as I do. They're going to do as you do. Just watch them. I mean, the little girl come in the living room, hand on the hip. Who's she seen doing that? Not daddy. Hopefully. All right. They're going to do what we did. What have they seen in that house? I've given illustration before, words that they'll come up with. Where did you hear that? And then you trip over something and all of a sudden you say the word and you're like, they got it from me. But what if they see in that house? They need to see authority, but they need to see example. So your words count. Your prayers count. But your example speaks louder than words. You got to be what they see in that house. You got to be that example. So we must be an example of real Christianity in front of our children. They'll see us love God. They'll see us love mom or dad. They'll see us love the whole family. They'll see us in church and living right. They're going to do what they see. Our children will be tempted, yes. And that's why some people call it sheltering them. I'm all for it. All right? That's why the Bible says, we're all tempted. And Jesus was tempted in all points like we were, but yet without sin. Then it says, but He'll give us a way of escape. So if I could keep my kid from getting offered alcohol, that's a way of escape. Right? If I can keep them from getting offered a drug, that's a way of escape. The devil's going to make sure they get all the temptations of the sin, but if I can keep them from it, keep them from that temptation, and I guess would be a better word, not or, but and, they should have to crawl over your example to succumb to that temptation. Let me say that again. Your kid's going to get tempted one day to say words, to participate in stuff, to do things that against this word of God. But they ought to have to crawl over your example to get to it. Daddy always said, Mom always said, we always taught, we're taught. Because, I mean, all of us were there. When Mom and Dad weren't there, we were more worried about fitting in than obeying Mom and Dad's rules. But if we've seen that example and they saw it over and over, this will kill my mom. This will hurt my dad. So no thank you. That's going to help them. Your example will help. So someone has said this. You may build your palaces, amass your fortunes, provide the satisfaction of your desire, but as you sit amid your treasures, surrounding by a wanting for a wayward son or daughter to return, you'll have nothing. So that man sitting on that front porch, well, my son's blown it. He's over there partying it up, living in a hog pen, but at least I got this big old house. This is awesome. This is nice. I don't think he was saying that. Well, my son's blown his life. He's out there, but look at all these teams of horses I've gotten, all these chariots with the hydraulics on them and fancy rims, and at least I got the coolest chariot around. No. He boo-hooed himself to sleep every night. So we see we got to be a good example. They have to see authority. They have to see example. Thirdly, they need influence. They need influence. Again, they need that do as I do, not as I say, Mom. So you have to start young. You got to win their heart to influence them with love and for care and for time and honesty. Next thing they need to see, what have they seen in that house? They saw some authority. They saw an example. They saw influence. And the way all that works is this one. They have to see holiness. Again, it's not our pharisaicalism. Well, your parents or your mom or your dad, we're this way. No, no, no. They just need to see holy living. God saved me. God has helped me. The best chance for a child to have a blessed of God life is to see a holy mom in the home. Says there, let the mom fall. Pity on the children. They need mamas. Got to have mamas. I know that a lot of pressure, that's a lot of pressure on the moms. But God says, hey, I'll help you. I'll help you be that example. I'll help you be the influencer. I'll help you be holy. So, it says here, my children may have holy moms, and they need them. They don't need worldly moms. They don't need self-centered moms. They don't need social fanatical moms. They need holy moms. So it says here, if we are to help our children for the time and eternity, our homes must be better. Our lives must be truer. Our ambitions must be to do God's will supremely. What have they seen in thine house? Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, I know we all agree with what we heard. And obviously the solemnness is because there's a whole lot of homes that don't have any of that in them. And Lord, we do thank you for the opportunity that we have, Lord, to do VBS and to have a child come to our church that maybe have never heard that Jesus loves you. Maybe have never seen a true Christian. Somebody that's trying to do God's will. But Lord, more than that, we ask you to save their mamas and save their dads and help them all to get that order. God first, then us. In Jesus' name. Let's all stand. The altar's open. Brother Derek's going to lead us in an offertory hymn. Or not offertory, invitation hymn. There we go. Altar is open.